Pradumnaya, unto Lord Pradumna. Antaha Pane, unto the super soul in everyone's heart. Translation by dear Lord, you are the origin of the subtle material ingredients, the master of all integration, as well as the master of all disintegration, the predominating deity named Sankarsan, and the master of all intelligence known as the predominating deity Pradumna. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purple whole universe is maintained by the integrating power of the Supreme Lord of Knowing. In that capacity, by the name Sankarsan, the material scientists may have discovered the law of gravity which maintains the integration of objects within the material energy. Yet, the master of all integration can create devastation by disintegrating blazing fire emanating from his mouth. The description of this can be found in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein the universal form of the Lord is described. The master of integration is also the destroyer of this world by virtue of disintegrating energy. Sankarsan is the master of integration and disintegration, whereas Pradumna, another feature of our last day, is responsible for universal growth and maintenance. The word Sukshmaya is significant because within this gross material body, there are subtle material bodies, namely mind, intelligence, and ego. The Lord in his different features, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Pradumna, and Sankarsan, maintains both the gross and subtle material elements of this world. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, the gross material elements are earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and the subtle material elements of mind, intelligence, and ego, all of them, controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Sankarsan, Pradumna, Aniruddha, and this will be explained in the following verse. My dear Lord, you are the origin of the subtle material ingredients, the master of all integration, as well as the master of all disintegration, the predominating deity named Sankarsan, the master of all intelligence, and the predominating deity Pradumna, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances to you. So, this is a continuation of Shiva's prayers, and here we'll see that he begins to list the Chatur Vyuha. In the previous verse, he started with Vasudeva Shankaya, which is Gaya, so what you say. And now he continues with Sankarsan and Pradumna, and then the next verse, Aniruddha. So these deities are very famous, all Vishnu expansions, very, very famous. And they function in relation to the material world. So we know that Mahavishnu is an expansion of Sankarsan. And then within the material world we have Pradumna and Aniruddha, who become Gavadakshaya Vishnu, Shirdakshaya Vishnu, Paramatma in the heart. And, of course, the origin of all of this is Vasudeva. So we have these expansions of the Lord in the spiritual world, and they expand into these forms of Purusha avatars in the material world. So they have two forms in the spiritual world, as Chatur Vyuha, and then expansions in the material world in these different forms. So they have a dual role to play. They have a spiritual role in the spiritual world. And of course, ultimately in Krishna Leela, then we'll see in Dwarka, we'll have Krishna as Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva, and we'll have Sankarsan, Balaram, and we'll have Pradumna, his son, and Aniruddha, his grandson. And so we have them in Dwarka and spiritual world. And then we have the expansions in the Vaikuntha planets, the Chaturvyuha there. And then we have the expansions in the material world also of Chaturvyuha in the forms of these different Purusha avatars. So in this way, the Supreme Lord spreads himself in the spiritual world and in the material world, he's one. At the same time, he has different forms. And when he expands in the material world in these forms, these, of course, are more limited because they have a specific function to show. They have certain powers that they manifest in relation to creation and destruction. Whereas in the spiritual world, they're not limited in that way. So the Purusha avatars have a specific function in relation to material creation and destruction. The origin of everything ultimately is the Supreme Lord, and these are his different forms for taking care of the material world. In this way, the Supreme Lord is disconnected from the whole material world, because some of his forms carry out these functions, while the other forms are in the spiritual world completely not connected at all with the material world. So, in this way, he maintains his separateness from material energy by expanding himself in this way. But even though he expands in these forms also are untouched by the material world. So quite often, these forms are mentioned because these are the forms which are related to the material world. So we're in the material world, so we often relate ourselves to those forms of the Lord who are directly related. So these are the more directly related forms of the Supreme Lord. These forms who the Purusha avatars. But still, they are no way contaminated by material energy. And they're not covered over at any point. So Shiva's offering his respects to these forms who enter into the material world, but at the same time have nothing to do with it. So here we have, he offers his respects to Sankarsana. Sankarsana, Karsana of course means to pull or to attract. And Sun of course means together or completely or whatever. So one who pulls things together, that's one meaning of the word. The other of course is that because of Balaram was pulled from the womb, Devaki put Rohini's womb. He's called Sankarsana for that reason, because he was transferred from one womb to the other. So the word can have several different meanings according to context. So one of the meanings, of course, is that he's got this attractive force. Gyanbhava Sankarsana Mahavishnu, who is the first instigator in the material world. He's called the Antaryami of property, of everything. He resides in his palace in that Karna ocean, and then expands from his body all the different universes made of property. So he is the cause of everything. He's the creation in one sense. Of course, Prakriti is eternal, but Prakriti can do nothing and it's avyakta until the Lord wills it. So it is the form of Sankarsan who wills Prakriti to manifest into Mahatattva and places the jivas in it and starts the material creation. So therefore he's called the creator. Okay? So he brings things together and therefore he's called Sankarsan. At the same time he's also the destroyer, because we'll see in the Bhagavatam, it's described in the 12th canto how Sankarsan at the end of the universe, when it's time for destruction, he destroys everything also through his expansion. So he can create and destroy. And of course, everything ultimately merges into the body of Mahavishnu. All the jivas go in and Prakriti dissolves, or all the elements dissolve into Prakriti, and Prakriti becomes visible. But ultimately everything merges into Mahavishnu again. So he's the source and he's the dissolution of everything. So he brings all the elements together and then he merges them back together. So he's very sukshma, very, very subtle. of all the forms, he is more subtle than the other forms, Garbhadakshaya and Shiradakshaya Vishnu, because he's the origin of all of them, and he's in charge of property itself. And in this way, he's praised. And he's called Vishva Prabhudalaya, one who awakens the universe. So, of course, the first awakening is Mahavishnu glancing and injecting the jivas, and then this way starting the universe. And then within the universe, then we have Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu sprouts a lotus in his navel, and then Brahma comes out, and then Brahma produces all the lokas, and then creates the bodies for the living entities. So, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is also responsible for awakening the universe. And of course we know that nighttime comes, Brahma goes to sleep, and then morning time, then he has to get up again. So it is Vishnu who awakens Brahma and causes his manifestation, and he has to prepare the universe and put all the living entities back there, etc. So, again, the cause is ultimately Vishnu, though Brahma is the, let's say, the direct manufacturer of the bodies. Ultimately, Vishnu is the source of all that. So he's the one that awakens the universe. And behind, of course, is Mahavishnu. Then, the Supreme Lord also enters into all the jivas within the universe. Antaratmane, he goes inside. So in this way, on three levels, the Lord is supervising everything. On the big level, all the property, and then in each universe, with Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then in each jiva in the universe, as Paramatma. So on three levels, he pervades everything in the material realm. And the greatest aspect of the universe, and then the jivas within the universe, within their body. So within this, in this way, the Lord pervades everything, and the Lord is ultimately the witness of everything, and the controller of everything, from the largest down to the smallest thing. He's in control of everything, pervading everything, knowing everything. Okay. So in this way, Shiva is praising the Supreme Lord. Shiva has some role to play because he's in charge of the destruction of the universe. But he just doesn't create, whatever. And he has no role to play up as far as Mahavishnu. He's not that far up on the scale. So he understands that Vishnu ultimately is in charge of the whole universe in his maintenance and control, his creation, his destruction, etc. And that Brahma plays a secondary role, and that Shiva also, he plays a secondary role in charge of tamaguna within the material world and the destructive elements. So therefore, he offers his respects to Supreme Lord. So this is it's a simple principle. Vishnu is supreme, others are secondary. But it's often misunderstood, and many people will say, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, all God, all controllers, etc. So it's a common misunderstanding. This, of course, also comes from Puranas, you know, sometimes equate the three together and treat them equally. And in one sense, yes, if the Supreme Lord takes the role of Brahma, then he is Supreme Lord. And because Shiva is also Ishvara, then he is also equal. So in that sense, yes. But when we look at the usual manifestations and their activities and their powers, then we have to separate and see that no, functions are different, powers are different, etc. So the ultimate conclusion of Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, and Bhagavatam is ultimately Vishnu is superior to everyone else. That therefore he should be worshipped. And Brahma and Shiva worship Vishnu. So that's the conclusion of Bhagavatam. Pointed out at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam with the story of Rigu and all that. Often misunderstood by many people. So it's made very clear in the Bhagavatam that this is the conclusion. And therefore, Vishnu is the object of worship. But that's a general conclusion, which Shiva is stating here. The higher conclusion, of course, is Krishna Swayam Bhagavan. So that's the ultimate conclusion. So Vishnu is supreme, but the form of Krishna is considered to be the supreme form of all the different forms in the spiritual world. So that is the main import of Bhagavatam, though we'll find stories about Vishnu and Vishnu's praises in these verses, etc. Jiva Goswami says that the Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, which is mentioned in the first canto, this acts as the theme for the whole work. So it's called the Paribhash Sutra, that which very concisely gives a principle, and we interpret all the other statements in terms of that principle that gives a meaning to all the other principles. So that statement, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, is the theme of the Bhagavatam. And therefore everything has to be taken in the Bhagavatam, has to be taken in consideration, that statement. So, though Shiva here is not praising Krishna directly, he's praising all praising the Chaturvyuha and all the other expansions, etc. The ultimate conclusion is that Krishna is the supreme form. So, other works don't state that. So we'll have other Puranas stating many other things, and then we'll have the Upanishads praising Brahman. Of course, conversational praise Indra, sacrifices and Sarvaloka. So that is there. Yes, there are many things, contrary statements in the scriptures, but there has to be a conclusion. We can't just have contrary opinions. There has to be a conclusion. What is the supreme conclusion? So that is worked out very carefully. Many statements are there, or many types of people, but we have to see what is the stronger statement. So ultimately, scripture prevails over other things. And if we take the scripture, then we have to see what is the conclusion of the scripture. And if we do that very carefully, then we'll find ultimately Brahman is superior, Jnana is superior to Karma Yoga. So Upanishad is superior to Karma Kanda section. Then we have, what is that Brahman? It gets the general term. So there we have Parabrahma. And then we have Narakriti Parabrahma, which is Krishna as Parabrahma. We have many forms of Brahman also, so which form of Brahman is the best? So again, in the first canto that is stated, that we have Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman. That the Brahman is manifested in three stages. As the impersonal aspect, as the Purusha avatar forms, which are mentioned here, and then is Bhagavan forms. And those forms are listed in the first canto also. So we have all the different avatars of Bhagavan. But then it says, Krishna's Stu Bhagavan Swayam. So all the forms of Bhagavan, then Krishna's supreme. So he is the supreme form of Parabrahma. So that is why our acharyas take Bhagavatam as the substance and the summary of all the scriptures. He gives the final conclusion of everything.
very, very concisely, very, very clearly. So everything in the Bhagavatam will have to be taken into, in terms of that. And then all the other scriptures also should be interpreted in terms of that. So therefore, the Upanishads will have to be taken in terms of that. When they talk about Aham Brahman, then ultimately we have to take that in relation to Krishna. So in this way, Bhagavatam is the conclusion of everything. And in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is the conclusion.
Niruddha, mm-hmm. Then second quadruped, then only Vishnu comes from second quadruped?
Well, Vishnu is a general term, so in the spiritual world, they're all Vishnu forms in one sense, and in Vaikuntha, they have four arms, etc. They're all called Vishnu. So we have this 24 expansions mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Hrishikesh, Narasimha, etc., Madhava, etc. So Vishnu forms are there. Of course, there's more than that even. They're all called Vishnu.
Because there are so many contradictory statements, which means scriptures alone, they are not sufficient.
What's that?
Scriptures alone are not sufficient.
Oh, they require the acharyas. So therefore, scriptures are actually, the scriptures are revealed to rishis originally. Even the Vedas are revealed to rishis. The eternals are revealed to rishis. And then they have their Vyasadeva gave the Vedas to different disciples. That's described in the last part of the Bhagavatam. He gave each Veda, even the Itihas and Puranas, to different disciples. And they started paramparas from that. So they understood the meaning of it. So the scripture cannot be separated from the parampara.
All the material aspects are taken care of by Vishnu, is it?
Well, no, even Vishnu in the spiritual world, he doesn't know anything material. So we have so many Vishnu forms in the spiritual world. They have nothing to do with the material world. It's only this Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Gavadakshai Vishnu, Shirdakshai Vishnu, they deal with the material world. And even the other avatars, like Vasudeva and Rishabhadeva and Hamsa, Masya and Kurma, etc. Nothing to do with the material world. Only Leela. But of course, they do have a function in relation to the material world because they may establish Dharma. Scripture says, I come and I establish Dharma and destroy the demons. So in that sense, they also deal with the material world. The spiritual world, no demons. So they don't have to establish Dharma. So they don't do that at all. The spiritual world.
Krishna is enjoying the spiritual world.
Yeah. Enjoys the material world.
Okay.
Also, material world, he enjoys. Either way. Praise, that's all. Shakti Vaishnava.
Yeah, there are
how's the ex Balaram? Oh, well, if you look in, not so much in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but probably in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, then you'll find more stories about that. But we do find a little bit in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where he is, his mood is like Balaram, because Balaram tends to be a little unconventional. And Nityananda is unconventional also. He acts in strange ways sometimes. People can't understand what he does. He may get angry or whatever. Acts as if intoxicated, etc.
Yes, you have to be the little incarnation of God. You should touch on with that, the incarnation of God. Still have to be the little incarnation of God.
Yeah.
Is the empowered or is the incarnation of God?
Well, Rupa Goswami says he is actually Supreme Lord. But we'll find statements, for instance, in the Mahabharata, which states, it gives a whole list of jivas who become Vyasadeva in different Kali Yugas. And it's also stated in Mahabharata that some sage became Vyasadeva in this age. So Rupa Goswami simply says that that sage merged into the body of the Supreme Lord as Vyasadeva at that point. That's how he explains it. So, Vyasadeva is supreme, and this jiva merged into him as part of the pastime to play the role of Vyasadeva.
Acharyas
would do
this
in kids.
How do you understand
that?
How
do you think about
the
other one?
Krishna Krishna being Bhagavad Gita. Different Rasa. That's right.
Different
Rasa. Gandhra Sri Shivam Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
Gandhra Sri Shivam Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Doing this in the Krishna Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
Yoga.
Yeah.